An uncomfortable silence descended. I hesitated a moment, unsure of what to do. Then I followed my instincts, crossed the small space between us, and put my arms around her. "It's good to see you, old friend," I said. "Thanks for coming to get me." She returned the hug. "It's good to see you too," she said, and I could tell she meant it. I let go of her and stepped back. "Christ, H," I said, smiling. "I knew you were hiding something, but I never imagined." "What?" she said a bit defensively. "You never imagined what?" "That the famous H, renowned gunter, and the most feared and ruthless arena combatant in the entire Oasis, was, in reality, a fat black chick?" I was going to say young African-American woman. Her expression darkened. "There's a reason I never told you, you know." "And I'm sure it's a good one," I said. "But it really doesn't matter." "It doesn't?" "Of course not. You're my best friend, H. My only friend, to be honest." "Well, I still want to explain." "Okay. But can it wait until we're in the air?" I said. "We've got a long way to travel, and I'll feel a lot safer once we've left this city in the dust." "We're on our way, amigo," she said, putting the RV in gear. H followed Og's directions to a private hangar near the Columbus Airport, where a small luxury jet was waiting for us. Og had arranged for H's RV to be stored in a nearby hangar, but it had been her home for many years, and I could tell she was nervous about leaving it behind. We both stared at the jet in wonder as we approached it. I'd seen airplanes in the sky before, of course, but I'd never seen one up close. Traveling by jet was something only rich people could afford. That Og could afford to charter 3 different jets to retrieve us without batting an eyelash was a testament to just how insanely wealthy he must be. The jet was completely automated, so there was no crew on board. We were all alone. The placid voice of the autopilot welcomed us aboard, then told us to strap in and prepare for takeoff. We were up in the air within minutes. It was the first time either of us had ever flown, and we both spent the first hour of the flight staring out the windows, overwhelmed by the view, as we hurtled westward through the atmosphere at 10,000 feet on our way to Oregon. Finally, once some of the novelty had worn off, I could tell that H was ready to talk. "Okay, H," I said. "Tell me your story." She flashed her Cheshire grin and took a deep breath. "The whole thing was originally my mother's idea," she said. Then she launched into an abbreviated version of her life story. Her real name, she said, was Helen Harris, and she was only a few months older than I was. She'd grown up in Atlanta, raised by a single mother. Her father had died in Afghanistan when she was still a baby. Her mother, Marie, worked from home in an online data processing center. In Marie's opinion, the Oasis was the best thing that had ever happened to both women and people of color. From the very start, Marie had used a white male avatar to conduct all of her online business because of the marked difference it made in how she was treated and the opportunities she was given. When H first logged into the Oasis, she followed her mother's advice and created a Caucasian male avatar. H had been her mother's nickname for her since she was a baby, so she'd decided to use it as the name of her online persona. A few years later, when she started attending school online, her mother lied about her daughter's race and gender on the application. H was required to provide a photo for her school profile, so she'd submitted a photorealistic rendering of her male avatar's face, which she'd modeled after her own features. H told me that she hadn't seen or spoken to her mother since leaving home on her 18th birthday. That was the day H had finally come out to her mother about her sexuality. At first, her mother refused to believe she was gay. But then Helen revealed that she'd been dating a girl she met online for nearly a year. As H explained all of this, I could tell she was studying my reaction. I wasn't all that surprised, really. Over the past few years, H and I had discussed our mutual admiration for the female form on numerous occasions. I was actually relieved to know that H hadn't been deceiving me, at least not on that account. "How did your mother react when she found out you had a girlfriend?" I asked. "Well, it turns out that my mother had her own set of deep-seated prejudices," H said. "She kicked me out of the house and said she never wanted to see me again. I was homeless for a little while. I lived in a series of shelters. But eventually I earned enough competing in the Oasis Arena Leagues to buy my RV, and I've been living in it ever since. I usually only stop moving when the RV's batteries need to recharge." As we continued to talk, going through the motions of getting to know each other, I realized that we already did know each other, as well as any two people could. We'd known each other for years, in the most intimate way possible. We'd connected on a purely mental level. I understood her, trusted her, and loved her as a dear friend. None of that had changed, or could be changed, by anything as inconsequential as her gender or skin color or sexual orientation.